You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Haseler.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. For the next half hour each, we will be sipping some news and spitting some booze.
The other way.
Flip it, reverse it. Drop it, flip it, reverse it like Tom Super Volcano Kryatsky.
Yeah!
I'm so reversed.
You're so reversed. Yeah. You're like a reverse pile driver.
Puts.
It's you're called like, a pile pickup.
You're so reversed. You're Mott.
Yeah, Mott.
Instead of Tom.
Super Volcano.
Oh, I was like, I don't get that.
No.
Too cerebral for Alex.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't like that cerebral comedy this early.
Yeah.
I just like poop.
Jesus.
Look, it worked on Tom. Yeah. I literally just said the word poop.
You're red, Tom.
If we were like at a funeral and you're reading the funeral thing, whatever you call it, I'd still be laughing.
The funeral
what
thing?
What do you call it?
Dearly beloved.
Yeah, I'd laugh.
Like someone's obituary?
No, what do you call it? Like giving a speech at a funeral.
Yeah. Oh, the eulogy.
Eulogy.
Oh.
Is that?
Somehow Alex would just make it funny without even trying.
Jesus.
Yeah. I'm like.
Because he's funny.
I'm sorry that everybody died. Tom, keep cool. keep it together, bro. I can't tell if you're crying or laughing, Tom.
It's funny. Also, it's getting
Tom's
hotter.
Tom's like, I can't tell either.
Oh, how have you guys been? How was your week? What's going on?
I did a totally stupid thing this week.
Well, that's our department.
Yeah.
What did you do?
So I went out to dinner Friday night. With
so far, smart.
So, yes.
Yeah.
With friend of the show, Ross Marquand.
Oh.
You mean first few days.
Red Skull Ross.
Yeah, Red Skull Ross.
Red Skull Ross. That's it.
And because I understand my friendship with Ross, I Ubered. Because
good, smart.
He's one of those friends where we're like, let's go have a drink. And then like 12 drinks later, we're like, we're taking over the world.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, I Ubered to dinner.
Smart.
And then
so far, all smart moves.
All great. Had dinner at a great place, had some drinks. Then we were like, we're full. Let's go like walk around a bit. So we just like walked around and like we were going to go to another bar. But then I looked at what time it was and I had to be up real early Saturday morning. And I was like, oh, never mind. I got to go. And so I call an Uber from there and I go home and I walk up to my front door and I'm like, where are my keys?
No.
I do not have keys.
Oh, and I know.
And I'm like, this makes no sense to me. Like, I've never in my life lost my keys.
So,
like, I've lost them in my apartment, but then you find them. But I haven't, like, left them out in the world somewhere.
So this is an interesting question.
Yeah.
This is a guy-girl thing, right?
Yeah.
My keys only exist in my pocket.
Yeah, my keys
There's
only,
no other place.
They
so,
only exist in my purse.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's why I was like, I clearly locked my door. Because it's locked.
So
it's not like I left my keys at home.
You know that you had the keys at some point.
Yes, I left with my keys.
So Ross Marquand stole your keys.
Ross.
That's
really
great.
Really good character.
No.
Red Skull.
So then,
welcome to the Soul area. I take
neighbor,
your keys now.
Jesus Christ, shut up.
That's Red Skull. That was Red Skull.
That was
very good.
Yeah.
That was better than Ross.
So my neighbor upstairs keeps a set of keys for me.
Upstairs neighbor, yeah.
Yeah, upstairs neighbor, but she wasn't home. So then I called my friend who lives down the street, not super far, and I was like, are you home? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, any chance you can drive over and give me my spare key? I can't find
my keys. Oh, so you had another person with another spare key.
I have spare keys spread across the city for this very reason.
By the way, still smart.
Still smart, right? But then I get off the phone with her, and then literally my upstairs neighbor like turned the corner and came home. And I was like,
great.
Oh, I was like, great. So I called up my other friend. I was like, you don't have to come. My upstairs neighbor let me in. And then I had to go through the process of being like, so where the hell are my keys? Because
why would you take your keys out of your purse?
Yeah, I did not do that the whole evening. I know I didn't do that. But those keys have my mailbox key on them. And that's really hard to replace a mailbox key because
that has
to come from like the post office.
Oh, yeah. And they'll probably charge you $100
or
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I have to get these keys back. So Ross was texting me.
And do you do the thing that Heather does, which is you have the car fob separate from your keys?
Wait, she does?
I take my car key off whenever I'm going out and not bringing my car with me for this very reason.
Smart.
It's very expensive if you leave.
Car keys at home.
Yes,
got it.
I always just leave. Like if I'm taking an Uber, car key comes off my
key. Because that I feel like is also another female thing.
Yeah.
And not female thing as in like a, you know, whatever. No. I think it's purse to not purse thing.
Yes, because we change purses.
I have to have it in my pocket. Otherwise, again, my keys don't exist.
Yeah. But women change purses all the time because they got to go with their outfits. And normally when you're going out, your purse is smaller.
Yeah.
So you take off the big car key.
Got it. Which, especially if you're Ubering. Right.
Right. But I mean, also, I love my Mini. I've been talking about it a lot. But Mini keys are the most giant car keys.
Really?
They're huge circles. They're not like regular.
It,
like, take the regular car key, you know, that's just like a rectangle, and then put a circle around the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
So they're I'm like, I don't want to carry this around normally.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, so you don't lose that shit. So I was like, I have to get these keys back because it has my mailbox key. So I call the restaurant that we were at, but it's so busy they weren't answering. And I was like, I really don't feel like I left it at the restaurant, you know?
So where else did you guys go? You said you went.
We just walked up and down the street. But so I'm like, maybe I left it in the Uber. Like, maybe when I was coming home, because I had some drinks in me, I took the keys out to prep and then just, like, left them. So I got in touch with the Uber driver who dropped me off. She was like, I don't have them. I was like, okay, thank you. And I was like, I guess I'll try my first Uber driver.
Yeah.
Like, the driver on the way to dinner. But I was like, but that makes no sense to me. So I call her through the app, and it goes to her voicemail. And I leave a message. And then, like, I'm still like texting with Ross and like other people. I'm being like, I can't believe I lost my key. And I text my landlord to be like, how much is it going to be to replace a mailbox key? Because I think I might have lost my keys, you know?
Yeah.
And then I get a text from my first Uber driver. She's like, hi, I have your keys. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I left my keys in the first Uber. So I don't even have the excuse of having alcohol in my system.
Oh, wow.
I clearly did not put them in my purse immediately when I locked my door. Probably put them on the seat next to me.
Yep.
And then just left them there.
Slip.
Wow.
I know.
So I'm constantly now, I've not actually left anything in an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But every time I get out of an Uber, because again,
I always look
in
at
my
the
pockets.
Seat. I always
I now
look at the
always
seat, and I did that.
Seat.
I remember doing that, but
Weird.
My keys. I think because I didn't have the car key on, my keys were like so small
that you didn't even notice them. In the
wait a minute, get this: the key ring is the half hour happy hour.
Oh yeah,
key ring. It's that with just my house key, my mailbox key, and like my Ralph's and CVS cards
Dongles.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're very tiny. So clearly they just like slipped somewhere, and I just didn't see them on the seat. So then I had to go through this whole process of like meeting up with her the next day somewhere random. Like while she's Ubering around, she's like, I can wait here at this intersection for a few minutes, and I like hauled ass over there and got my keys and gave her like some cash and stuff like that. You know, just be like, Thanks for not breaking into my apartment.
Amazing.
While you had my keys.
And you knew that I was at some place drinking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my God, I didn't even think about that being like.
She knows where you live because she picked you up.
Yeah.
And she knows that you are not at that place because she dropped you off.
It didn't even occur to me that she could have done it. I was thinking like the next day, but you're right, the night of. Mm-hmm. Thank you, very nice Uber driver. Thank you.
She
you're
seems
welcome.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that's what she sounded like.
That sounds like
you're
very
welcome.
Nice.
Totally.
Driver.
Anyway, so that was, I was just like, that's one of the more dumb things you've done in your life, Allison.
That's
like, just
simple.
Like,
that's a mistake.
Yeah, that's
it totally
nice.
Is.
That's mistake.
But had I done it in the Uber on the way home, I would have been more forgiving of myself.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
It's the stuff like that where you're just like, I wasn't even thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, just if I just taken a beat and thought, that would not have happened.
Yeah.
Like, that happens all the time. Like, I think I even talked about on the show, we have a clicker to open the garage, and I left it in the garage, and then we have a key where like you have to like manually unlock this thing and pull a chain and lick the thing up it goes,
it's
a whole process.
I don't think you lick the thing,
but I don't even know if we have that key anymore, so I was fuck. And then I found out that I could do it through the Uber app, or the Tesla app on my car. So I was like, oh, that's great. But I do that all the time now because it's like, whatever.
You did that today.
Yeah, I was
today we did not have the clicker, and you had to open it with your fancy phone.
The garage.
Yeah.
Classic,
which is just dumb.
Classic Albrecht.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that.
I wish I had a story to share.
That's a very
good story.
That's all
I wanted to say.
It's a good story, Tom.
Good job.
I don't have anything.
Classic. All right, shall we do an email?
Yeah, let's do an email.
All right, this is from KO.
KO.
Yeah, I believe. Hey, HHHHH crew.
Hi, KO.
Hi, Allison.
Yeah.
When Allison talked about the test on Pottermore, I went to the site and took it.
I forgot.
And I was selected Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Although I thought it would have been Slytherin based on the results because of my answers, and it was fine. But then I took the Pottermore test and found out my surprise result was for the Patronus.
Oh, okay.
An adder.
Oh,
so
a
he
snake?
Has a snake Patronus, but he's in Gryffindor.
Oh.
And so he asks, can someone from Gryffindor Patronus. Have a snake as a Patronus? Or is the hat
messed
because,
up? No, because Harry speaks Parseltongue.
That's true. And,
so,
he's,
and he's Gryffindor, and so he could, you know, communicate with snakes. So yeah.
Now,
not,
theoretically, he only can communicate with snakes because of what happened with Voldemort.
You guys are like such Harry Potter nerds.
Right?
Yeah. This is embarrassing.
That was one of the reasons why.
Yeah, I'm actually really impressed with Alex's retention of Harry Potter.
Yeah. I've retents.
You retents a lot.
I've retents a lot. That's
been, I haven't done
I'm getting
the
retents right now.
I haven't done, you know what?
No, but so that was the question. Tom,
yeah.
Did you do your homework and take the test?
Was I supposed to do that?
Yes, you said you would. Did you do it, Alex?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God, what are you?
Well, first off,
I'm so excited.
You're totally right that there is a lot of like stuff where you're like, this is my, like, this is the Gryffindor answer. Uh-huh. That's the Slytherin answer, but I'm going to choose the one that's like
that
actually
you have to be honest with yourself.
Whether it is or is not one of those things.
Yes, yes.
So I went through the test.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Jeez.
And I am a Gryffindor.
Okay.
What do you mean? What do you say? I was so excited.
I was excited that you might be a Slytherin like me.
I'm not evil.
Oh gosh, you guys, I'm not evil.
Maybe I'll do it in between breaks.
Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, we'll put.
So we're actually recording three episodes in a row today because I'm gonna be out of town for a bit. So we're gonna take a smidge of a break. So maybe you can take the Pottermore test and I'll find out what my Patronus is.
Ooh, let's do it. That's what she said.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing three episodes, we should have talked about this at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Guys, we're doing a giveaway.
That is correct.
Yay! Okay, so this is going to go over the next 3 weeks because we're recording these three episodes in a row. So when we come back, we're going to announce the winners of this giveaway. But for people who have been listening for a while, you may remember friend of the show, Brianna Brown, who came on during Drunksmith.
Yep.
I forget which episode she was, but this past Drunksmith, just look for her name. You'll find it. And she came on to talk about her the books that she created to help you manifest what you want out of life, right? And she gave me one, and it's super cool.
And I think you talked about the whole experience on maybe even a podcast before then.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah, because I remember you being sort of like, guys, this blew my mind. There's like this thing. It helps, and you do things. And
It's basically a glorified planner.
Yeah, it's a manifestation delivery device.
But it helps it holds you accountable. So you first off you go through.
I don't like the sound of that. The,
come on,
I don't even like humans holding me accountable, let alone books.
So you go through the whole like the whole first half of the book is like all of these questions. You basically answer all these questions, and it helps just get you very specific about what you're looking to get out of life or what you're looking to accomplish, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And then it gets into the planner part of it where it's like, okay, what do you need to accomplish this month to help you get to your goal? And you say this is my month goal, and then you break it down by week, and it's like, okay, if you want to accomplish this by the end of the month, what do you have to do in each individual week to get to that goal?
Yep.
And it's like, cool, okay, if this is what you have to accomplish in this week, what do you have to do each day to accomplish that? So it really helps you like plan out your manifestation, right? It's really great. And so Brianna hit me up because she loved being on the podcast, and she's like, I'd love to do a giveaway with you guys. So we are going to give away 10 of these books. No, sorry, to 10 people. We're going to give away 2 books each. So we're actually giving away 20 books, but to 10 people, because the idea is that you get to manifest whatever you want to manifest, but you can have a friend do it with you, because it's a lot easier like if you're going through the process with someone else, right? Your friend or your spouse or whoever. So what you guys need to do to win 2 of these books. You must send us an email.
Yes.
Entitled, Manifest This, Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And if you don't like typing profanities, you can say Manifest This, MFers.
Yes. Or with stars.
In case you're my
or
dad. Stars. That, yeah. I swear.
It has
I'd like
to say.
I'd like to get one of these here books there, Tammy.
Yeah. It has, to, say, it has to say manifest this, and then the second half of the email can be at your discretion.
Nice.
Or the second half of the subject line.
By the way, I'm so excited for the people that write manifest this at your discretion.
And then within the body of the email, you send us your favorite joke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
your and the first, joke? Yeah, your favorite joke.
Yep.
And then the first 10 people who do this
yep.
are going to win the books. And so we'll put you in contact with Brianna to get all your, you know, mailing address and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But so first 10 people to email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com mm-hmm. with the subject manifest this motherfuckers in whatever way you want to write it with your favorite joke in the body of the email.
Yep.
We'll get these books.
That's boom.
And
awesome.
We're going to do this over the next 3 weeks. So you have 3 weeks to accomplish this. Although clearly we're only picking the first 10 people. So get on it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Sooner rather than later.
And then at the end of all this, we will read all your jokes.
Yeah. I feel like I feel like I want to try this book.
It's very cool.
I want to learn to drink more.
Yeah.
That's my...
You know what you're doing it right now. You're manifesting for day on drink.
I want to drink more each day.
Create podcasts centered around drinking.
Yeah. Yes.
Do podcasts centered around drinking.
You're like, okay, that's one that day a week. Yeah. What about the other 6 days?
Yeah.
Just to drink.
I like the whole joke thing. I'm sorry I skipped rehearsal. I didn't know we were doing the jokes and the emails.
I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
I'd love to see some good and horrible jokes.
That's what I thought. I thought we'd get some good ones from...
Allison, good call.
Yeah. Right?
I applaud
you. So, Patronus.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And take the testis.
We're going to take the test on the break.
Okay, so you take the test, you take the test.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we'll see what we get.
Okay, cool.
Alrighty.
Cool.
So, thank you
I feel
you
like
very
maybe
much.
We need to do it after this episode, though, because I feel like people aren't going to want to wait for two episodes. Like,
they can wait.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They should wait.
You got to build up the suspense.
Oh, yeah. Right. So you guys aren't going to get the answers to this for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're going to like it.
Okay, yeah, cool. They're going to love it.
When they get the answer, they'll be like, yeah.
I waited for that.
I waited for that.
What if I find out that my Patronus is literally like a cobra or something like super... A boa constrictor, something just super
it's just
evil.
Your Patronus is Voldemort.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, wow, that's my Patronus is actually Voldemort.
You guys, what if this is my origin story of how I became a like a supervillain?
We're not surprised. I can totally see you doing it, Allison.
That would be amazing if all of a sudden Allison slowly morphed into like a mid-40s like evil genius that has a lair.
Mid-40s?
Because it takes the time.
Why can't I be a young, sexy super?
That's the time.
Because you're sexy, it's less imposing.
Yeah, because then you're
scary.
Like...
She's evil, but man, she's
I
hot.
Just
yeah,
wanna,
I got that. I got stuck in that dungeon, but it was sort of okay.
I just want to be Kate Blanchett in Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
she's
Jesus
pretty
Christ.
Awesome.
So, okay, yeah. so...
That woman walked out on camera, and I was like, what?
So here's the thing that somebody said about you know trailers. There's a whole big thing of like how
they
much you show
all the
trailers
shit.
And all that stuff.
Yeah,
but somebody and I don't really care about that so much. Like I'm like it's okay. It doesn't really affect me. I still enjoy the movie. However, did say something that I went that I get.
Yeah,
which is they showed that picture of Kate Blanchett grabbing Mjolnir.
Yeah,
like catching Mjolnir.
Oh right. Yeah,
and then cracking it.
Yeah,
and. This guy wrote, how much cooler would this have been in the movie if it wasn't in the trailer? And it was the first time that I was like, I 100% agree with you.
I think that all the time.
But specifically that moment, because I was like, a lot of it's just vague fighting and like vague, you know, quip.
Yeah.
But that specifically was like, that's a bad, like that's a really intense thing.
I mean, that's the thing in the trailer that makes you go, oh, this is a serious movie. But
which is actually funny because I would say that the problem with that movie is
hilarious.
It's not a serious movie.
I didn't mean serious in that sense. I meant that there are stakes. Like the stakes are really high.
Yeah.
That's the thing that in the trailer that makes you go, okay, this isn't just a funny movie. There's some high stakes in it. But you're right. That would have been way cooler. I think there are a lot of moments like that. There was something in Star Wars.
Last Jedi.
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
That I was like. And it wasn't a moment like that where you're like, oh shit, the stakes are really high. It was a really funny moment, but it would have been so much funnier had I not known the joke was coming.
Got it. Yeah. That's I mean, I almost feel like there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
Like just release teaser trailers.
But it doesn't matter because it still sells you on the movie. So they're going to show the good parts in that trailer, and you're going to go and expect to see more of good parts like that. So
yeah, but that's the problem. Is like
The
other thing, too, is like, and I remember this, we might have even talked about this, but I remembered, I believe it was called Spaced Invaders.
Mm. No, that's a movie?
Yes, from the 80s. Oh my gosh, yes.
The trailer for that movie is 100% different than the actual movie.
Really?
The trailer's like a comedy, right?
The trailer is like a pure like Animal House raunchy meatballs comedy with these three like Three Stooges aliens.
Oh my gosh, like Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yeah,
One of my Allison's and my.
And by the way, when the movie comes out, none of it. It's not a comedy.
Wow.
So the whole trailer. And by the way, like, has voiceover in the trailer, all changed in the movie.
Wow.
The entire tone. It's like somebody woke up at the movie studio and went, wait, I don't want to make a raunchy comedy. We want to make a serious movie. Go change all of the voices of the aliens and now make a different movie. But I was disappointed when that movie came out because the trailer was of this like weird slapstick Three Stooges space movie.
Yeah.
And it comes out and it's just a kind of shitty.
Oh my god!
Invasion movie.
Now I kind of want to see this.
Yes, let's get together and watch it.
I'm gonna have to find the I hope the trailers.
Everything's
exists.
On YouTube. All the trailers are on YouTube for
everything. All the trailers are on YouTube.
They're all there.
But a lot of this is the problem is that it's also we talk about stuff that's in a trailer that doesn't make it into the movie because they're cutting the trailers while they're cutting the
movie's being edited. Yeah,
and a lot of times it's a completely different company.
Right.
They just give footage and go make a trailer and they're like okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I guess I'll do it. I will make this trailer for you guys.
Yeah. So I guess they send it all to Henson.
The entire podcast talking like this.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, we'd lose all the listeners.
That would actually be really funny if you just did a fake Muppets podcast.
Hi. Kermit the Frog here.
Get out of here, frog.
That's my Miss Piggy.
Oh, that's Miss Piggy.
That's a very good Miss Piggy.
I practice often.
You're like, I have a lot of free time.
I'm so lonely.
Now, the thing that whenever I want to do a Kermit the Frog impression, I always do the one scene where he was the roving reporter. And
hello
the house
here,
of the...
Kermit the Frog here.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm live from the house of the Big Bad Wolf.
Ooh. Nope. Tom's was better. Tom's
Thank
was
you.
Way better.
Oh, see, but he's practicing.
Yeah, I know.
He can do Kermit and Miss Piggy. Yep.
How jealous are you now, Alex?
So
finally, Alex.
Jealous.
So jealous.
So jealous.
All right, shall we get to a couple stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
This sort of goes straight into it.
Okay, great.
This is amazing. This is one of those things where I'm like, first off, it's Florida. But secondly, I'm
Florida's
like,
Florida's the new
really?
New Jersey.
This is the thing. Yeah. Are you ready for this title?
Totally ready.
Florida candidate says alien abduction doesn't define her.
Oh my!
I love it.
Oh my this gosh! Sorry, what is she a candidate for?
The U.S. House of Representatives.
Shut up! And she says she got abducted by aliens.
So it says here that Bettina Rodriguez. Last name, has had a long list of accomplishments to bolster her campaign in Florida, but she is perhaps best known for claiming that she was abducted by space aliens as a child. First off, I love that the article includes space.
Oh, yeah. Not just
aliens.
Because...
Sea
aliens?
Sea aliens?
I don't think that's true. I think alien defines you as being not from the planet Earth.
Correct.
Right. So you don't have to say space.
Well, anyway, space aliens.
I guess unless they were moon aliens or unless...
But even then, they come from space.
Well, yeah, I know.
Space.
Well, do they... Space.
Space.
The one place capitalism has not yet grabbed.
No. The one place not yet corrupted by capitalism. Space.
Space.
Oh, God, that clip never gets
space
old.
I love it. So she's in a long shot race for a Miami area seat.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing. The Miami Herald.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was gonna
the
say.
Miami Herald actually backs her.
Backs
they,
her they story.
No, they suggest
her. Backs her as a
as
candidate.
The candidate.
Oh, they back her as candidate.
Yeah. Wow. So, like,
Jesus,
one of the major newspapers. What's up?
I was just looking at
my beer
because we're drinking very fancy beers today. I'm drinking a Firestone 2017 Helldorado Vintage. And I was like, I feel drunk. Well, because this thing is 12.8.
Yeah.
That thing's 12.8. That's like wine in a bottle.
I know. I've been drinking it like a beer.
Anytime you get one beer bottle that comes in its own box, it's a strong beer.
Yeah, it's in its own box. Only 7,000 cases were produced.
What? Do you like it?
Yeah, it's real good.
I just getting bombed
I'm
already.
Just Alex
is getting bombed.
Okay, sorry. Let's go back to the alien abducted senator from Florida.
Does she talk about
House
the
House of Representatives from Florida?
Oh, she full on does not back down.
But I mean, she tells you what the story is.
Yeah.
What her?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I can relate.
So.
Okay.
Maybe you can relate.
It has nothing to do with
once,
what I am.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. It happened when I was 7 years old.
Oh, too young.
Okay, so here we go. Well, yeah. Okay. She also said that she witnessed. Okay. She said she was taken aboard a spaceship.
Oh, my gosh.
As a young girl by blonde extraterrestrials.
Oh, no.
Who resemble the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay.
Brilliant.
It's like there's so much flavor to the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's not just like anal probe.
You had me at Jesus aliens.
I'm trying.
Yeah, Jesus.
I want to hear the story because I'm trying to hear the story without judgment right now. Just
so she says.
You know what I mean? I'm just trying.
I hear you. Let it wash over you.
No jokes.
No jokes.
Yeah.
She says that they told her the center of the world's energy is Africa. I can buy that.
Yeah,
where we all came from. And that thousands of non-human skulls were once discovered in a cave on the Mediterranean island of Malta.
Okay.
A little weirder. She has then said that she witnessed paranormal activity since then.
Okay.
So ghosts and shit.
Cool.
Ghosts and shit.
Then she also says that she saw a UFO at age 17.
Yeah.
And she also says that she has been in touch with aliens telepathically for a long period of time after the abduction.
Like, legit, that's the one sentence where I go, Everything else, I'm like...
First off, for all the crazy shit, for all the crazy shit that people in our government believe, that I just go, science?
Right.
Right?
Good point. Good point.
This is sort of the one that I'm the most like, I'm okay with somebody believing that they got abducted by aliens, because then they're kind of going, aliens exist, which I'm sort of okay with.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like that's not anti-science, whereas a lot of shit that people believe, it's like, the earth is flat. And it's like, no, it's not.
No, it's definitely not.
But I can't say you weren't abducted at 7.
Right.
And I'm going to say likely not, but
also because she's running and saying that this isn't her platform. This is not what defines her.
Yeah, she's not like, running on an anti-alien abduction platform.
Right.
Which, by the way, like, she should switch, because that's amazing.
Yeah.
I declare no more alien abductions.
So you said the Herald, the Florida...
Yeah, the Miami Herald.
Miami Herald backs her.
What do they call that when somebody like endorses her?
What's her party? Does it say? Is she like independent or something?
I don't know. So the seat is being vacated by a Republican, but I don't know if she... No, yeah, so she's GOP.
Okay.
So the Miami Herald endorsed her for the GOP nomination in Tuesday's primary...
Wow!
Out of a field of 9 candidates.
Wow,
man!
But like at age 7, can you really?
Well, this is what I'm talking about. Like, listen, I believe that weird shit happens on our planet that we can't explain.
Yeah.
So my point is, like, maybe this is something that's not necessarily aliens, but it's something else that was just kind of weird, and a 7-year-old sort of processed it like this. You know?
Oh
yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Like I wouldn't think. If she was out there just being like, this is my truth and you must believe my truth and elect me so I can make us closer to the aliens, I'd be like, you're batshit crazy.
Yeah.
But there's something about the fact that she's like, this is a thing that happened to me. I get that you think it's weird, but I'm also just a normal person who wants to run for government.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, but again, there's shit that people believe that are currently in government that I'm like, what are you talking
about? By the way, John McCain passing away this week, that actually hit me.
Yeah.
That was like, he was like, I mean, he's like a true war hero.
Yeah, literally.
Oh my gosh, the whole Vietnam. Wow. He was
like, when they made
years?
The announcement that he stopped getting treatment.
Well, that was the thing that was so weird was that it was like 24-hour news cycle later and he had passed away. So that must have been.
That was a bummer.
Yeah.
Like there are certain people, you know, who like just have defined what our nation is. And I do believe that he was one of them. And it's just like.
Yeah.
Well, but also it's like it's crazy to think like. I mean, maybe I feel like people are just dying more frequently. I think it also just is that news is getting to me faster.
Yeah, that could be too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like...
I wish I could credit this person because I read it on Twitter and I don't remember who posted it, but it was something like, just thinking about Aretha Franklin and John McCain hanging out in like the freshman year of heaven right now is really heartwarming.
Well, but also, so Neil Simon passed away.
Oh my God, that's right.
The
literally today, the day we're recording this. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a big bummer too. I mean, that guy like defined Broadway for a really long time. I mean, he's The Odd Couple. Like that's one of the most defining plays, TV shows of our time.
I did that play.
Yeah.
Did
no,
you?
Almost
were
everyone
you Oscar?
Does.
I was Oscar, yeah.
Yeah, typical.
Yeah, typical.
Such a
typical
Oscar
slob.
Thing to do.
Oh, man. I wish there was video of that because, A,
so
I was yeah. not a good... I mean, I think I was probably okay.
Right.
But, like, it was just a slapdash
yeah.
show. That was the most... that was the most, like... You know how, as an actor... You
yes.
have the like stress. Yeah. We all have stress dreams.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you
like
can
you
kind of associate.
Lines,
yeah, you
yeah.
can kind of associate what you it is that you do with stress dreams. Like we
yeah.
all have school stress dreams where it's like, oh, you're here. Oh right, that test is today. Oh shit, I didn't
study
for the test.
Yeah.
Right, stress dream. But as actors, I find I get the stress dream a lot where it's like super exciting and I'm going to be in the show and it's great, but the show's kind of like going right now and I don't. Have any idea what
yeah.
my lines are. I don't know where I'm supposed to stand. Mm. When I go on, people are looking at me weird. That
I
is
have,
a stress dream for
actually,
sure.
Actually, in life, I you know, I did a bunch of musicals when I was in high school, and I have two moments where I very clearly, to me, fucked up.
Oh,
like singing like literally the wrong words at some point. But my brain managed to like click me back on the right
mm-hmm.
track.
Yeah.
So the audience didn't know, but
nope.
in my head, it was like complete fucking panic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Dude, that stress of being
yeah.
on stage and like going up on a
but
line.
But then also knowing
oh.
that you can cover it is like,
yeah.
it's so it's so much anxiety, but then knowing that you can cover it is like, oh, I'm a superhero.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
There's something
yeah.
about that where you're like, yeah, okay, that's, this is why I can do what I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Tom?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to hear my story?
Yeah.
Only if it's one sentence.
It's well,
give me
it's
a long run-on sentence. Go.
I maybe I told you guys this. I never said it on the show, I don't think. But when I was a kid, you guys know I used to act, to do commercials,
yeah.
mm-hmm. plays, and TV
You were young
movies.
JFK.
Yeah. So like maybe 10 years ago, I get an audition for a TV pilot to play a cop. It's a Dean Cain TV show.
Yeah, Dean Cain.
Yeah. So they send me the script a week in advance. I've memorized lines tons in the past. I was like, oh, it's just one line. No big deal. So
oh
I memorized the line.
Oh, I'm going to love the story.
Yeah.
Go on.
Memorized the line. Some simple line. I'm playing a cop at a funeral or whatever. And then so I go into the audition, and you know I'm off book. So I say the line, halfway through it, I forget the line.
Amazing. Oh, no.
So I'm like, oh, okay, that's never, ever happened to me before. So they're like, no, just do it again, do it again. So I do it again, and I forget it halfway through the line. I start to get mad, and I do it again, I forget the line. I start swearing and like getting mad in the audition. And the
oh
guy's like,
God.
just go outside, just go reset, come back and do it again.
Oh,
and I was like
God.
So embarrassed. I got out of the room, I did it. I came back in, I did it like half-assed, but I actually got through the line.
Yeah.
And the next day they called me and said I got the part.
Are you
Wait,
serious?
What?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So you didn't realize that it, like, under it was like, an angry cop stands
yeah.
up. Wait,
no,
so what was the line?
But by the, yeah. What
the
was,
line was. It
you'll
was,
never forget it. Yeah,
no,
I know you
I
know
won't.
It.
It was. So we're talking about a cop who killed himself on the job.
Oh,
okay.
Jesus.
So I say, man, I've heard of guys doing themselves, but never on the job. That was the line. Because we're at his funeral. Like,
you
man.
Probably got to, man, I've heard of guys doing themselves. And you're like, ha!
doing themselves.
Yeah. What's the rest of my line? What?
What's the rest of my line?
But then
on
we,
the job. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But then when we shot the scene, like I was still nervous because I was like,
yeah.
I'm going to
yeah.
forget it. I'm going to forget the line. I'm going to forget the line. But I didn't forget it during
Good.
The shoot.
Good. And
the pilot
Amazing.
Didn't get picked up anyway.
By so. The way, there are so many stories of like, I have friends who have like,
yeah.
they walk out of auditions and are like, I am the worst actor
yeah,
in the world.
Yeah.
I am terrible. I will never act again. And then they get the role. And then
Crazy.
People who walk out
yeah.
of auditions and then they're like, I
awesome.
Crush that. And
yep.
they don't even get a, like, actually, I was on Stitchers. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
unfortunately
yeah, yeah.
got
on
canceled.
Chiller, right?
No, it was on Freeform.
Oh, right.
It was
yeah,
ABC
yeah,
Family
yeah.
that it switched to Freeform. My audition for that, I went. I knew the casting director,
yeah.
so it was an office I was already friendly with. I go in, I'm chatting with her, and we actually ended up getting in like a real legit conversation, like
yeah.
not like a bullshitty like, "How have you been?" Like,
yeah.
she started telling me about her son and he was going off to college and what he was doing, and blah
yeah.
blah blah. So we had like a 10-minute conversation.
We
which,
call that a connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah, like a real person thing. And then we go
like a human interaction.
Yeah.
Go on.
And then we go to do the scene, and the scene was a very wordy like. I'm being interrogated and I have to be like, yeah, well, this is what my job is, you motherfuckers. Like, I'm not taking any shit from anyone. We go to do the scene and like, I get through it, but I had like stumbled over something or whatever. Cause it was very wordy. And she's like, okay, let's do it again. I just want to get a clean take. She's like, this is great. I'm like, cool. Go to do it again. Can't get through it. She's like,
wow.
All right, let's start over. Go to do it again. Can't get through it.
Wow.
Go to
wow.
five or six times. Ugh. And finally, wow, on the last time through, I get through it. And then she's like, cool, thanks. And I leave. And I'm like, I am fucking mortified.
Yeah,
because we spent all this time like being awesome and being buddies and like she's rad. And like then I could not do the fucking scene.
That's amazing.
But I booked it. So
yeah.
Because here's the deal.
Yeah.
Like she knows what's going on. And so she only like she sends that last take to the producer.
Yeah,
so
she doesn't say, look,
they
she
don't
fucked
see
up like a lot
bullshit
of times, but let me send you the thing.
And I see her now and I'm always like, you're the best.
I will tell you right now, I honestly think somebody needs to disrupt the way people are cast in Hollywood.
Mm, interesting.
It is the wrong way to do it. I mean, it literally is.
Well,
the skills that it takes to do a good audition
are not
have
the skills.
Zero
yes
to do with the skills it takes to perform on the day.
I completely absolutely agree with you. Acting is a totally separate beast from auditioning.
100%.
They are two different things.
And I mean, like, worlds away.
Yes.
It's like cooking and deep sea shrimping.
Yeah. Like
what?
The auditions where I've left and I've been like, I was so filled up. I was like in the moment. I was amazing. Are the auditions where people are like, meh, we weren't really feeling her. And the auditions where I'm like, I phoned that fucking in. I at least just said the lines and whatever. I was still, they're like, she's amazing, you know?
But it's not only just sort of that feeling. It's also like when you're in the moment and you're shooting something and crazy shit's happening, like it's way easier to sort of like be honest in that moment.
Yes.
When you're sitting in your fucking kitchen with an iPhone pointing at
right
you, it's almost impossible to get, or sitting in an office.
Or with a casting director being like, so what did you do?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds awful. You know, like you're not acting against anything.
It is such a weird thing. I think that somebody needs to come. So here's the problem. We've talked about this a little bit, and then I'll get off my little soapbox.
Okay.
It's just got a couple pieces of soap in it.
Just a few pieces.
But we've talked about this a lot, which is, you know, the biggest problem that Hollywood has, and I just use Hollywood as like entertainment
general
industry
general.
But the biggest problem the entertainment industry has is there are millions of people that want one role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the problem is you can't let them all read for that role because the system would just grind to a halt.
Like, it
just
completely.
It's too much.
Yes.
But that said, there has to be a better way to get the people who would be right for the part in front of the people who hire the people who would be right for the part.
Well, I
without
will
this
say,
weird arbitrary middle process that doesn't make any fucking sense.
I will say that the industry is making a very, very heavy turn towards self-taping, meaning you're not going into the office anymore to do it with the casting directors or in front of producers, which sort of killed, like, I know for a fact that I have booked roles because when I walk in that room and I can chat with these people, they're like, this chick's fucking rad.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she did the role really well. Let's hire her.
Yeah. Right.
You lose that. It's called you lose the room is what they call it.
Yep.
You lose the them getting to see you as a human being.
Yeah.
But what you do get is being able to send in a perfect take of what you want them to see of you.
Yep.
Because you can do it a zillion times if you're doing it yourself. And casting can see more of those. Because
Exactly. They don't have to sit because there's churn in a room. Whereas if you're getting submitted, you know, 10 5-minute scenes in 50 minutes, you're done.
Right. Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, I hate to admit this, but it's like if I'm casting something and halfway through or seconds in, I know that they're wrong for the person that I'm doing.
You move on.
I'm not wasting
you
my time.
You move on. Yeah. And here's the other thing.
So maybe
thing.
What it is, sorry, but no, I just had an idea. What it is that it's actually like locations that you can go to do self-taped auditions
that are
controlled like a film set.
They exist.
But I mean, like, so, like, serious, like, sets, costume, the whole nine yards.
Oh, no one wants to watch an audition with someone in costume. It's not that
loose costume.
What you should be doing in your audition anyway. Loose costume, but like you don't need that provided by someone else.
No, but I'm just trying to think of what you could do to get to the point where you're mimicking the actual on-day shooting and then taking that and handing it in as your audition.
Well, here's the thing. You actually don't ever want to do that because you don't want... Like, this is why they always recommend that you still hold your sides when you're auditioning, even if you're fully memorized. Mm. There's two reasons for that, actually. One is if you're not holding your sides during an audition, the casting director the whole time is going, oh my God, if they forget their lines, what are they going to do?
Yeah, 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 totally.
So just holding the Smart. Holding the sides
makes
just,
the other person comfortable.
Just, yeah, takes that level of stress off the person watching you.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you forget, no one cares if you like go up on a line and you look down and you're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Like, it, you can watch Aaron Paul's test for Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
He goes up on a line and they don't care. He's like, what's the line? And they give it to him. He's like, oh, right. And he goes right back into it. Books the role. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one cares because they know it's an audition. So this is my point. You never want to give them what you think the final product is because then they think they don't have anywhere to go.
Interesting.
You want them to think like, this person's great and I can work with them. I can change, because the directors want to know that they can direct you.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because so many times people show up and they're like, this is the way I'm doing the role because I memorized the role like this. And this is exactly how it works. And the director goes, okay, but try it like this. And the person's like, I can't do anything else. I have to do it this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand what you're saying, but
there has to be a better way. That's all I'm saying. Let's figure out that better way and become billionaires.
This has been Hollywood 101 with Allison Hayes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We really did.
I just learned a lot right here.
Now that
we
know, now that they know how to successfully book an audition.
We're going to go fix
Our job is done.
You're all famous actors now
out
there.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. All right. If you want to
email, you have the tools.
If you want to email us, email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. And don't forget our giveaway.
Yay!
Email us, manifest this, motherfuckers, with a joke in the body. The first 10 people who do that will get the books from Brianna Brown on her on how to manifest things, which is really, really cool. Follow us on Twitter at halfhourhappyhr. Subscribe to us on whatever you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Remember, sometimes you have to search Half Hour Happy Hour, and sometimes you have to search the Half Hour Happy Hour.
What?
I don't know why. And that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Hayslip.
I'm Alex Albrecht. Sitting in with us as always, the man, the myth, the legend, Tom Super Volcano Krajewski.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.